Hello, you're very welcome to the programme. And today we have the final episode in our Digging Deep series, in which we've been getting a flavour of social farming in the Northwest. And I think you'll agree that we got some lovely glimpses of how much participants get from the experience.
You know, like some people are afraid of the alpacas because they've never seen an alpaca before, but the lads are good for being willing to try new things, things they've never done before, and they don't shy away from things.
They're beautiful, but they're rough, they're tough. I guess you have to be confident to go up and hold them. Show confidence, they will let us do what we need to be doing.
I think I'd fall the sheep for all of this. Yeah, the animals is probably the favourite part of the job.
No, I'm a townie, but I work hard as a farmer. Maybe one day.
Well, I do like it. It makes the day quick, meeting all the people. Yeah. And there's sheep here too, and there's Rick fencing too. Just anything outdoor, we don't mind. Yeah.
You're a real confident young man. Mm. Now you're telling us stuff, we're learning stuff from you. Really building confidence. Mm. We've been thinking about that he is going to get a job soon. Mm-hmm. And so trying to think of different ways to build that experience, you know, so that you'd be well prepared for it.
In this final episode, we're going to focus a bit more on the other side of the coin to see how social farming rubs off on host farmers and on their farms. And we're also going to get the view of occupational therapists from the mental health services on a farm visit in North Sligo.
We are part of a team that includes, you know, psychiatrists, other doctors, community mental health nurses, nurse specialists,
social workers.
Social farming is one piece of that puzzle for people. Mm-hmm. Often it doesn't feel very medical. You don't feel like you're part of maybe a mental health service as such. When you are doing those things, it really breaks down the barriers for us working with people. I find we get such like rich information and relationship building whenever you're out in a farm and you're doing something that you've not done before and the service user also hasn't done it before. And, you know, you're clicking in that way and people really open up, even in the car, on the way to it, on the way from it, and working alongside you. Mm-hmm.
Keep it going, let's trust more.
Ben Bogan to the far right.
And all our social farms are in such beautiful locations. Mm. And it does contribute to that. We've one out near Knocknashee, and climbing Knocknashee was one of our farm activities one of the days. That was such an achievement for people to get up to the top of that. My name is Naomi Finn and I'm a senior occupational therapist on the rehabilitation and recovery team, and I work in South Sligo and South Leitrim.
Yeah. And how long have you been doing that?
I've been in this job for 3 years, but I've been within the mental health services for the last 16 years, I think.
Yeah, so my name is Claire Matthews, and like Naomi, I'm an occupational therapist working in the rehabilitation and recovery services. I've been working with these services for 4 years now. I work within the residences, what we call the supervised residential units, the SRUs. Prior to that, I'm 20 years altogether working in mental health services.
My name is Maeve Sweeney, and I am a student in Ulster University, a second year student in occupational therapy. Yeah, so I'm on placement for 6 weeks with Naomi in the rehab and recovery team.
You know, I feel like when you drive, as I drive up the driveway, all the thoughts that are going on in your head and places you need to be, it just kind of slows down. You breathe out, you look around at this gorgeous scenery, you're walking around. And I suppose even that sense of having your hands in the soil for a lot of people, and that people have been more relaxed as they're leaving. And a lot of people would feel quite agitated or anxious, and there's definitely a sense of calm, I would say, as we're leaving.
If you look at all the really good opportunities for all the different sensory inputs when you're on the farm. You know, the digging, you're moving, you're smelling things, you're seeing things that you don't normally see. Yeah, it can be really regulating and calming for people.
Like when we're here and we're walking, we've got trees all around us here, the air feels clean and fresh. And for a lot of people, it's just that opportunity. It's a healthy activity to do. Mm-hmm. It's reinvigorated by it.
As you can hear there, today we're in the beautiful surroundings of the Tattyhoker Farm in Cliffney in Sligo.
Aidan Gillen, the farm is called Tattyhoker Organic Farm. It's in North Sligo. I spend most of my life growing vegetables, so this is an organic farm, so we do markets and box scheme on the farm. So I love growing vegetables organically, and I would encourage more people to do it. Tatty Hokram, it means potato picker, so I've always enjoyed picking potatoes.
As I wander through Aidan's farm, I can see so much evidence of his commitment to creating a positive and welcome environment at every turn. And he's actually carved out space for the wider community, as well as shaping it to suit social farmers. And, you know, that's probably something you'll get to hear throughout this programme, how social farming can foster wider connections and generates positivity in ways that you might never expect.
I'll show you the allotment area, which has come out of the idea of social farming. It's a beautiful place. And there's people always looking to learn to how to grow things. You know, my farmer's son that was brought up on a farm, and I said, well, why don't I show other people how to do it? So I put it out there, and yeah, there's a huge interest. So it's oversubscribed. It's only a matter of letting people know it's possible. If they want to, they are very welcome here. By the way, the sensory garden, that's one of the things I wanted to do, beautify the place. So I thought, oh, a sensory garden. And also people would benefit, people who might not have places to go to, people who are blind, people who... you know, even the social farming aspect of it, that actually was part of it as well. So it's very slow to get it going because I knew nothing about it. I have reached out and people, you know, have come and helped and with ideas and even the seeds. That over there is a willow patch, two domes and a tunnel in between the domes. That was started last year. For children, it's amazing. And there is a plan in place, and it has started last year, was to have groups of kids come in here. With their mothers coming one day a week, you know, and using the polytunnel as well. And the house, they can benefit from, again, the soil and seeing where stuff's coming from and being out in the open air. And if it's raining, they can go inside or they can play in different places, you know. And the kids have a great time together. So you don't have to do much. You just need to be a safe space for them, really.
Aidan regularly hosts social farmers from the local mental health services at the Tatty Hoker. And one of their occupational therapists, Claire Matthews, told me a little bit more about them.
We're talking about people who've been in the mental health services for some time. They have more severe and enduring challenges with their mental health. So I work specifically in houses where people are living 24 hours a day. They need nursing supervision. So they're people who have schizophrenia or schizoaffective disorders. I suppose they're people that maybe have been on medication a long time. They're a bit older, so... a lot of them have been living for some time, maybe in these residential settings. Their homes, each house has about 6 to 7 people in it. Yeah, so I'd say the youngest person now, they're in their late 30s, up into their 60s and 70s. And they maybe haven't had the opportunity to work for a long time or to be in the community for a long time. So my role, I'm 4 years as an occupational therapist within those houses, is really about getting people out again. It's really about getting them the opportunity to have meaningful engagement. And it's really, and sometimes you find that one thing that's tapped into the person. It could be swimming with one person. For social farming has been really big for definitely quite a few people. Music, it's not that I'm an expert in any of those things from North County Dublin, but I'm not a farmer from a farming background. I've learned a lot about farming over the years myself. What's been really nice, because I work with the same people over many years, so we've had quite a few people that have come back to Aidan's farm, and they've really built a relationship with Aidan here. So the first block of eight, it might be just that some days people just weren't able to come, and only maybe one or two would come for the day. And then as time has gone on, they're all coming and they're all interacting. I would have started the day, usually I think they say it can be up to 4 hours, and then we visit as the OT team, we would visit for an hour of that time. But initially it was a case where I would stay with people and it might be an hour. And that was plenty for some people. That was all they were able for. And then over the years now, it's built up that they're telling me to go. They're happy here. And when I arrive back, they're saying, oh no, we want to stay longer. It's huge for people, yeah. Then we have polytunnels in the houses as well. And it's really helped us, and Aidan has helped us as well with that, in building their own skills and doing it in their own time. So they're bringing those skills back to their day-to-day life. So it's really helping people to have confidence and tap into that part of who they are. And some people, you know, it's in them. I think that the farm, and you see it with the people that come here, it just brings out that strength, that skill that maybe they haven't had the opportunity to show and to get the feedback of, oh wow, you're actually really good at this, you're way better than me, and it's really nice for that power shift and achievement.
Before he welcomed anyone from the mental health services on his farm, Aidan was offered training, just like all the other farmers we've spoken to during this series.
A couple of weekends, the health board gave us training on how to how to be with people from the mental health services. We can have people who have Alzheimer's, you can have people who have trauma, coming from war zones. You can have all kinds of clients coming to farms. Mm-hmm. So there's a huge learning thing there for not just the health services themselves, but for the farmer in a big way.
Would you have felt anxious about that?
A little bit. But like once, as you say, sit down, have a cup of tea, relax, a lot of that disappears. There's an awful lot of misunderstandings that stop things from happening. If you can only kind of listen, listen out of respect, listen to what other people are saying and try to be in the other person's shoe, that we begin to let go and hear ourselves as well, hear what people are saying, and be there with the person, empathize with them, because, we're all human. I'm finding more and more, like, we have two ears, we've only one mouth, so we should listen twice as much as to speak. I'm going to say no more now.
Sorry, I was just thinking of one of the benefits as Aidan was speaking there, and of listening and people kind of letting their guard down and opening up, and why one of the reasons I think social farming sometimes is a real leveller. So when we come out as the healthcare professionals, and then I have the residents with me, and then Aidan is here, we all put our wellies on. I have my mucky clothes on. Do you know that? Yeah. I know I'm not, I'm exactly, we have our mucky gloves on, and we're all, there's no, yeah, you're this, you're that, we're all the same. And I think even just that kind of sense of the uniform that we all are sharing is part of the benefit as well. We're all talking as equals.
One of the things I would know, if you take a seed and you sow it in the soil, and if it's one of those things like radish that grows in the space of 8 weeks, so you can actually see at the end of the period that usually your clients are with us, they can actually eat what they have sown. So that to me is extraordinary. May not be the same for everyone, but I feel that's kind of a model or an idea that a lot of people benefit from, because they can see they've created something, made something, they've contributed to something, and they have a result. You could have people going with their produce and using it, definitely in some of the houses where people are, but also it could go to that market, for example, in Rosnella.
And we are exploring,
or Cliffany County Markets, places like that. It's amazing.
Yeah, it has been very much a stepping stone for us coming here, and opened up lots of new ideas for people and new opportunities. Yeah. But I think you mentioned there, Aidan, that sense of worth. In creating something, it gives people a sense of worth. I see that, and that's probably more in the growth of watching things grow. I think nobody was more excited than me than the pumpkins we grew this year. I've never watched that process. Oh, they're way bigger than that.
Oh, right.
And then we made pumpkin soup and we made pumpkin pie, and there is a pride that you get from doing that.
It might seem that this all comes really naturally to Aidan and to the various therapists, who are really well tuned into what participants can draw from being on the farm. However, the truth is that this doesn't come about without the ground being carefully prepared. Last week, you might remember, on Quarryfield Farm, we heard from Charlotte Kelly of Social Farming Ireland. While we were chatting, she gave me an idea of the very considered steps that are gone through before any social farmer begins their placement.
So I suppose when a farmer comes to us, they register their interest online, and then they go through roughly 30 hours of training and mentoring to become a social farmer. They go through Garda vetting, and I work with them to get the correct levels of insurance and health and safety on their farm for participants to come out. And then for a participant's point of view, a participant, if they are interested in becoming involved in social farming, they will either self-advocate and come to us on their own, or they will go through their support service.
So a person can actually approach you off their own bat?
Yeah, so then we get them to fill in what's called a potential participant form, and that form, it gives me a bit of information on the person, their likes, their interests, and where they're based, and if they have transport, because all of our farms are very rural, so transport can be an obstacle sometimes, but we don't let it be. So from that potential participant form, we give them information on the farms in the local area, basically information on the farm, what activities they can expect on the farm, and it also has loads of pictures of the farm as well. So it kind of takes that little bit of anxiety away, what they can expect when they get there.
Yeah.
So from there, we set up an induction day. The induction day is, in my opinion, the most important day. It's where it's kind of a taster day. It's either an hour to an hour and a half where the participants and the farmers get to meet on the farm, and the participants get to get a feel for what they can expect to do if they were to do a placement on this farm. Sometimes they decide they don't want to go to the farm, and that can be from the smells to the work to the cold. It just depends on the participant. And then more often than not, they decide, yeah, this is for me. So then we go forward and set up the placement block. So each of our participants come with an individual support plan that their support worker or their family support will do up with them and identify goals for their placement. So it's really important to match people to the right farm and to the right participants as well.
Because it's that kind of personal interest and history that really drives how social farming works, it goes some way to explaining why it's been so successful here. All across Ireland, so many people have links back to the land. Occupational therapist Naomi Finn sees how this commonality facilitates real connection.
I work slightly differently to Claire. I'm also on the rehabilitation recovery team, but I work with people who live in the community, who live in their own homes. And the level of social isolation I see is, you know, it's shocking when you think just the lack of public transport, maybe the lack of finances. And we have, with social farming, we have something that taps into an inherent interest that people have, and it's lovely to bring people together. And the lovely thing about social farming as well, there aren't huge numbers. We're talking about maybe three people from our service, myself and, you know, the farmer and perhaps members of their family. So it's a lovely way to get back involved, back into society. And again, it's breaking down those barriers as well. I think when people hear a certain mental health diagnosis, we hear a lot about anxiety and depression. We don't hear so much about the diagnosis that involves some element of psychosis, and I think there's still a lot of fear out there. And then suddenly you meet people and you're like, well, you could be my brother, you could be, you know, my family member. There's actually, you know, there's nothing there to, you know, to be worried about in that case. And people just don't land out to social farming either. There is, people are referred on to community mental health teams or within the rehabilitation recovery team, and then they're referred on to the occupational therapist. And usually it's following a period of assessment of getting to know that person. That's, I think, why social farming works as well, is that process has gone on. So it's really meaningful to the people. And then everybody comes out to the farm with a support plan. So it might just be things like, I have these allergies, or, you know, this person mightn't be able to walk for a really long distance. It's a good guide, hopefully, for the farmer as to how to support them when they're on the farm, and to kind of help break down any worries that they have. Certain farms, you go out to time of the years where we're doing things like putting the tags in the lambs. We are helping to deliver lambs. We're bottle feeding lambs. Grandparents are farmers. I'm not a farmer. I've learned, you know, so much about lambs and what the whole process of them. There's a farm I'm looking at that has horses on it, and there would be a lot of like grooming horses and polishing the tack, and those type of activities. There's also then when you come in to make your lunch, that's usually a collaborative process, which is lovely. We have some people that don't have the opportunity to cook for themselves or don't usually do that. Of course, you've been so busy, you're actually hungry for your lunch too. And then with regards to the growing, I have so many people that say it's such a lovely, hopeful activity to plant something and to watch it grow and to be like, look, I grew that, I nurtured that, and I have that. And then I count back to the animals again. There's usually a dog or a cat, and it's just that unconditional regard that the animals have. The cat doesn't care if, you know, your hair isn't right, or, you know, it doesn't matter what you look like or how you're feeling that day. They're going to come up to you and want to like sit in your knee, or it's just beautiful to watch. It really is.
You can see broad beans growing there and a bit of lettuce, and those are garlic.
Aidan received the first social farmers at the Tattyhoker farm all of 8 years ago, but he's been continually learning and adapting how he does things since then.
Dry spot. It just takes time to get to know people, and you only have them for short periods.
and it's certainly leading to some new adventurous things happening, or hopefully will be happening in the future.
And I think it's important to say that, and Aidan, you'll say that depending on the people that come, some people don't want to work, you know, and that's fine.
Yeah.
And there's other opportunities for them.
It's more probably for me, the farmer, initially, to say, why would somebody not come here and not want to work, you know? But now I appreciate the person and where they're coming from. And even now, some clients come here, if they walk from here to the door outside and back again, that's progress, because it may well have been, in some cases, people have been afraid to move, and their world is getting smaller and smaller. And I think coming, the social farming has allowed people to explore in a very therapeutic setting, so that they're not scared, and try out things, and maybe to rediscover themselves, and it could lead to some improvement in recovery.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's what hopes would be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the physical health benefits are amazing too. Like, we have people that, you know, their goal is to get fitter, to be able to walk more. That's such a boring thing to do if you're like, just, some people it works, but if you're just going to the gym, or if you're just going for a walk, and I find that when you're on the farm and you're like, well, I have to go up to this field to check on this cow, and then I have to go here, and suddenly you've done all this walking, and you don't realize that you've done it.
You've got your steps in.
Without even noticing it, without being like, we are exercising.
Yes.
You know, and so that part has been fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is such a beautiful environment.
Well, here we are.
Just like Aidan, Adrian and Graham at Friendly Farm outside Drumahair are continually looking at new ways in which social farmers can benefit on their farm, often by tapping into their own reservoir of experience.
James has actually seen it since the girders went up, so he's been kind of part of the whole.
When we were last there, we saw a flurry of activity around the new eco-friendly shed.
They just started today, you know, with building, and they're going to insulate the building, which is like really exciting.
My career before we came back to Ireland was as a glassmaker, so I'm going to take that up again and run classes in glassmaking, and the social farming participants can enjoy them as well. But there will be lots of different crafts, and like, we have a neighbour down the road that spins and does felting. She can give a workshop, you know, and help the work with the social farmers. Okay. So what we're aiming for is a really nice, dry, cosy space for participants to go down and be comfortable enough that we can hang out there all day and do lots of projects, from farming projects right through to craft projects. And well, I would be very keen on woodwork. And so we've done woodwork with participants, and next week with James we're going to make those benches, start making those benches. Maybe, James, we could do like 4 of them. That would be a massive big work table. So absolutely planting, and that's going to start quite soon.
Yeah, sure.
Springtime.
Yeah.
Participation is so important, and including everybody. So I'm on that all the time, that everybody's included.
There are social aspects too, we find. In the top field there, we've had a little barbecue with people sitting on straw bales, and that was something they'd never done before. And we have the odd sing song.
By bringing this social farming, I think, bringing people together like that, we're going to see that we actually need to do an awful lot more. Think a bit more creatively. We need to have our own. Again, I'm on to my own rant now about food. We need to be able to grow our own food in this country. I mean, it's ridiculous. We're importing stuff from all over the world, 80% of our stuff in the supermarkets. Mad. And we also need to be doing more markets. Russ Nowell has started one. It's amazing. Every Friday between 10 and 1, it's good advertising. They have an amazing market set up by 3 ladies there, and they're making such a difference in that community. And I go to that market and I love it. And so it's a positive thing. So going forward, I hope more and more we connect, we collaborate.
Speaking about that market, Aidan, because we have a plan as part of the social farm. So the way it works is, well, I have 2 8-week blocks that I get to use, one here and one in another area in Sligo. But as part of that 8-week block, we have to do something outside. So we would have to do like a social kind of community activity. And myself and Aidan, we have a plan now next Friday to go and visit Aidan in that market in Ross Nowla, for then people to see another part of it.
Results like this often stem from many years of cooperation and experience. But it's also enabled by the support that farmers receive from Social Farming Ireland. At Friendly Farm, Adrian Diamond outlined some of the ways in which this has worked for them.
The Social Farming Ireland team are just tremendous. And there's training at the beginning, very intensive and appropriate for everything that could be covered. But then there's ongoing training. There's support. If there's anything, you can pick up the phone, they'll get an answer. And there's support from other farmers as well. So through the Social Farming Ireland, we've been put in touch with other farmers, which that's just brilliant. There's a WhatsApp group, and then there'll be meetings, and then there'll be kind of peer-to-peer learning things as well. And they're all really, really valuable. So what did we do? Any things in the beginning?
Well, there's obviously the risk assessment. And we were helped by the social farming team to do a risk assessment. You know, we had uneven surfaces to walk on, which was why we laid the tarmac around the house. But
and then, like, we did the safeguarding. So we got through all that, and we do that annually. So, and we do the risk assessment. It's all ongoing. And we just recently got, we were absolutely thrilled to get a leader funded grant to develop a space down below the barn. It's an extension to the barn, so it'll be a dry space, which is another rare thing, and we'll be able to do crafts there with social farms. I'm so excited about that. And that's been funded. Social Farming Ireland was a tremendous help in helping us put that grant in, which was tricky enough. Yeah,
it has allowed us to do improvements.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and that's helping our lives too.
But there's so much more. Like, that's like 5% of what we get, and then the rest is this other unquantifiable amount of things. Yeah, it's just there's so much kind of fingers going out. Yeah, different things. Yeah.
Charlotte Kelly and Social Farming Ireland really do understand that farms are continuously evolving like this. And Charlotte emphasises that social farmers can be integrated into this process.
Oh, our farm isn't ready. Oh, I want to have a polytunnel and I want to have this or that. And it's like, you don't have to have it ready. You know, this is something that participants can come and they can help you with this stuff. And then they can see the process of, I came here and there was nothing here. And now when I'm leaving, look at the difference I've made to this place, you know. So it's not, it doesn't have to be ready.
I to realise that, but I do I do agree with you now. At first I was like that. I was like, well, we can't do this, we can't do that. But like, we made a planter like beside our house with like one group that has come out to us every year. And like, you know, Gerald and I would really have to like scaffold, I suppose, the task, you know, that they'd be quite limited in what they can do. But we got the planter made, and then we put soil in it, and then myself and my son like started growing lettuce in it. And you know, if they do come back again next year, which I think is their plan, like then they'll be able to see it actually growing something. But at the beginning I would have thought, oh no, but they're not able to do that with us. You know, no, but now you realize that if you just, you might have to hold, you know, whether it's a drill or whatever, you might have to hold it with them, but you are actually able to kind of do some of everything with everybody, maybe not all of it.
When I was at Quarryfield Farm last week with Kelly Doherty, who you heard just there, and her father Gerald, I could see the mark of social farming on the physical fabric of their farm. They pointed to the apple orchard that had been planted with the help of social farmers, fencing, which that day social farmers Bradley and Tighe had helped with, and a polytunnel that was under construction to offer additional options for social farming. It was the very same story with Aidan Gillen at the Tatty Hooker Farm in Cliffney.
Even you think about it, some of the clients who come here and help on the farm, they have to put up this fencing to protect from, you know, the wind from doing damage to the vegetables. There's, you know, I'm blessed in so many ways that it's just amazing, you know. This, what we're walking on here, these slabs, the idea of that was to have a space beside the sensory garden and the polytunnels, so that people who come in here could work with pots. We'd have a table here, and we, you know, and especially people in wheelchairs, because the ground is level. Now, the people actually who put this in place did it voluntarily. They came from Grange. They came because they could see how it would benefit their people they're working with. So the next step is for them to come here, because that hasn't happened yet.
Farmers are a precious resource for Sophie, and they really do look after them. They provide lots of different resources. Helen Doherty, the National Coordinator for Sophie, told me about a series of workshops that they currently have underway.
There's a great value set and great social inclusion values, you know, in the company. And I suppose Leitrim is a very hospitable, open kind of place anyway. So, you know, that's just the nature of the way things are. Not very strong economically or anything like that. So So we play into our own strengths, I suppose. Yeah. Some of them would have come back to us and said, you know, we'd like some support for our well-being as well. So we ran five events across the country in the five regions. So the fifth one is tonight. So we've Tony Bates speaking at the one tonight. And we have another lady as well who is actually a counsellor. She works in Northern Ireland, specifically with the farming community, providing counselling and support mm-hmm. with the farming community. I think Tony Bates liked to call it, it's a bit of a TED talk that I'm doing. So he's the introductory piece and the motivational piece and all of that. And then alongside that, we're doing something that's a bit more structured around how to mind your mental health mm-hmm. and wellbeing tips and information and things mm-hmm. like that about, you know, where to seek help if mm-hmm. they mm-hmm. have any difficulty themselves. We've had a very big attendance of social farmers at them, and then others we've had more people from the community than social mm-hmm. farmers. We've had about 40 people at each of them. Yeah. We might do some more again because like we'd have four or five farmers up in Donegal there and mm-hmm. they didn't travel down to any of them, you know, so maybe we might do one up in Donegal.
And we do hear a lot about the importance of farmers looking after their mental health these days. Aside from valuable workshops like that, it seems to me that just engaging with social farming adds a sense of purpose and hope to those farmers taking part. And they really draw a lot from the additional social activity on their farms. As I took my leave from Aidan Gillen's farm, he was looking ahead to the new year with lots of positivity.
So, I have prepared it for the spring for planting, so I have it all ready to go. And again, social farming, one of the clients helped me preparing this. It's amazing when somebody works with you. It motivates you. It's just extraordinary that if somebody comes along, you know, it leads to some new creation, something different. Mm. It's just magic. So I had a big help in social farming with this. And what I did then was I put compost on top after having dug it, mixed the compost in, and then watered it. And then put that starch cover on it. And then I've got the drip system of water. So to keep the worms active as well, because there was lots of worms in it. So that's going to be really good for planting stuff.
I hope that you enjoyed this dip into the world of these farmers and their fantastic charges. I don't think we're left in any doubt that social farming is in good hands, and it'll continue to go from strength to strength. I have to sincerely compliment all the people who took part in the series and thank them for the warmth and openness that they showed in including me in their activities. I hope that you enjoyed listening to the series. If you did happen to miss any episodes or know anyone that might be interested in social farming, all the programmes in the series are available on the Ocean FM website.
This series was made with support from the television licence fee and commission amount.